Yes, thank you, Lord. Sweet spirit in the house this morning. Y'all, now don't get quiet on me. Congratulations, all you all that come up here. That's awesome. You know, I'm going to be speaking on a little bit difficult topic, if you're in what I'm talking about. But eighth graders, Doc made a very good point. You don't recognize it, but listen to your pastor. You're not smarter than your parents. Now, I walk through this. Everybody walks through this. And for some reason, we from, you know, eighth grade to maybe even into college a little bit, you think you're smarter than your parents. Then after you walk through life, you think, boy, if I would have listened, it would have been a little bit easier. Come on. So one of the topics I'm going to be talking about today is strife. And if you can learn early on to not have strife with your parents, you're going to have a better time. Guaranteed. That's a guarantee. And then when you get off and you graduate and you get off to college, then you find out what's out there. Lots of time we live in this bubble that we think everything's like this, then when you get out into the real world, you find out that you're actually a minority of what's going on out there. Because it gets pretty heavy duty out there, pretty heavy duty. I was one that went to college, and I'll just tell you how it is. I hated it. And I still have nightmares of college, but I wasn't supposed to be there. So, you know, if you're one here or one by my internet, and you're not going to college, don't you dare feel lower than those that go. Because you got to go where God wants you to go and be what God wants you to be. It's a guarantee. Yeah, God is so good. Listen, I want to talk to you today about dealing with strife. Anybody been around strife? I better not ask that question. Anybody work at some place where there's strife? I could ask that question. Everybody's hand ought to go up on that one. I can remember when I worked at the coal mines, it seemed like there was an ongoing thing that the bosses were dumb, and we knew everything. You know, we knew how this place ought to be run. It was amazing. And then I grew up a little bit and realized that I only knew in part of what was going on. That's kind of how it is with the eighth graders coming into high school. They think they know it all, and you know, everybody's doing it. Well, no, parents, listen to me. When your child comes and says everybody's doing it, that is not the truth, because you can just say, no, you're not. Then everybody's not doing it. But I know what's best. No, you don't know. You think you know. You still know in part. Would you like me to give you scripture and verse on knowing in part? 1 Peter 5:8, scripture we've been quoting. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you that, Father, even though we might be dealing with something that people are walking in, they know the truth. And Father, we know that the truth will set us all free. And we thank you, Father, we want to be reminded of your word and how to walk through and how to live a life for you. And we thank you for it today. We thank you. Lift up kids' churches going on in the back. We thank you for ministering there. The toddlers, the infants in those small classes, we thank you for loving on the kids there and raising them up in the Word. Thank you for all that's going on here. Thank you for these graduates that are here. They're stepping, really, they don't realize they're stepping into a new realm. The chapters before them have closed and they're beginning a new chapter in their life. And we thank you that they're going to do great and marvelous things. And we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Looked up the definition of strife. I was surprised in what I really found. Exertion or contention for superiority. Strife is exertion or contention for superiority. It's amazing how we all think that we know that what we know is right. And the only reason strife comes about is because somebody is trying to be on top. Somebody in the conversation, somebody in the group, somebody in that setting thinks they know everything, so they are contending, they are striving to get their point across. Everybody, please grin at me. Y'all just all of a sudden turn sour on me. If the only reason, listen, the only reason we fight, the only reason we strife is we're striving to get our way. Now, that doesn't mean your way's right or wrong. I'm not, because most of the time we think we're right, but we find later that maybe we're not. But maybe you're wrong, totally wrong, but you're fighting for it's right because you really in your heart think it's right. But either way, the only reason we've got contention, the only reason we've got this going on is because somebody in the crowd thinks they have a better way. Now, listen to me. Who cares? I mean, when you really get right down to it, you know, it's interesting. The word I becomes so dominant in our conversations. It's what brings conflict. It's what brings friction. It's what brings discord. It's what brings the enemy in the camp. It's what brings that roaring lion in. Because you think you know. Well, when you're talking to someone and they think they know, then automatically it's kind of like taking two positive pokes and trying to put them together. There's a resistance there without even knowing what's causing these two pieces of metal. Why is it that I can't put these together? There's never unity when strife's in the camp. But you flip that over and you allow the negative, the person that's just going to let it go, and you're going to see immediate attraction to where we can go with what God wants to go. Because I've found in my life that I was right, but that's not what God's plan was in what was going on around me. Anybody been there and have grown up a little bit to say, boy, you know, I was right, but if I would have pushed and pushed and pushed, I would have been in a different place in my life. You know, things happen in our life, and sometimes you have disappointments that hit you. I was sharing with someone this morning. Bill Gothard taught me years ago that point of your life is called a death of a vision. That doesn't mean it's going to be totally gone. That just means at that moment of your life, God has got a better plan for you. So you can cause more problems and have more strife going on in your life, or you can just say, okay, God, you know my heart. You know where I'm wanting to go. You know the desire I've got. And I'm talking to all the graduates and all of us. You put this in my heart. It's not going to go away, but obviously you have a different route. So what we don't want to do in the midst of this is cause strife and contention to get our way, because listen to me. When you get your own way, guess who has to keep you there? You. You may not think you had a death of vision, but you'll wish you would have had a death of vision. Because I'm telling you, when you try to keep yourself someplace in your own power, you may stay there. We see society in the world doing it all the time. They think they're succeeding and they're miserable. They've got what they thought, but they don't have what they need. When you trust in Him, things are going to always get better. Always. Always. Strife does nothing but brings bitterness, anger, envy, jealousy, contention. It's just like, I don't even like to talk about it. And we all can slip into it so quickly in our life, but that's not what God wants. Scripture for you. Proverbs 13:10 says, by pride comes nothing but strife. By pride comes nothing but strife. Proverbs 13:10. What brings strife? Pride. Boy, we could quit fighting, couldn't we? You said, yeah, but you don't know my wife. Yeah, but you don't know my husband. Yeah, but you don't know my kids. Well, wait a minute. If you're having a hard time, who's in pride? And parents are saying, yeah, but I'm supposed to be in charge. Being in control is an illusion. You know, the Borg on Star Trek, they said it was futile. It is. Being in control is futile because you're never in control. He's in control. You deal with every situation the best you can, the most biblical way you can, but when it all said and done, God's got everything. So why have a household of strife? Why have a household that is so strifeful to get your way? You know what we did with our youngest when he would never clean his room, never clean his room, never clean his room? Rather than have strife, we just shut the door. Now, was I right or wrong? I don't know, but why have the contention? Why have, I couldn't change it. But now you go in his house and everything's spotless. His vehicles are spotless. Everything's perfect. What was going on then? Oh, maybe God was working on me. But see, why have a household to where your kids can't even stand to be there because you want it your way all the time? Pick your fights. Can I throw it out there? Pick, you're going to have fights, but just pick your fights. Why have strife? Now, there are things that you have to stand for, those things that will devastate, but still learn to get out of that. 2 Timothy 2:23, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Avoid them. Why get in the middle of? Why go there? Why allow that to be part of your life? You know, I just had a situation that come up, and I want to share very carefully what happened. I've been looking for a little pickup truck. So I found one, and it, sharp wheels, body's in good shape. I mean, this thing is just, I was just happy. Bought it Friday night. Wow, this is great. Went to bed, they just pulled it up and parked it. I got what I'm looking for. I'm going to sell my BMW, and everything's cool, and I'm happy. Well, then about 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, and the Holy Spirit said, air conditioning. And I thought, well, see, when you're not thinking about something comes up like that, I can tell you that's the Holy Spirit. Yes. So I didn't get up right then, but the next morning we had to take Connie to the eye doctor, which is why she's not here, that and a flare. But anyway, I backed the other car out, and I jumped out, and I opened the door of the truck. It didn't even have air conditioning. And I went, oh, man, that was a dumb move on my part. I mean, you always, you know, but it's a 2008, and I just figured it had air conditioning. Well, now, make it real short, I called at 8 o'clock, the person that sold to me, and we talked back and forth till about 9 o'clock. And I wanted to go through all the right channels because you have, by law, 24 to 72 hours. But they did not want to, and that's their business, and that's all. I'm not going there with that. But then I had to deal with this guy. Because, see, I real easy could have called the bank, canceled the check, caused strife, caused discord. Did I want to for about 4 hours yesterday morning? Let me tell you. But now, just to help you, what good would it have done? Come on. Because actually, who made the mistake? Me. Come on. And so we don't want to accept this. I made the mistake. So we're going to find another way to get. But the only way, as we talk, the only way this could be handled is for strife to come in, which I don't want that. Because they have their reasons, I have my reasons, and ultimately, whose fault was it? Mine. I'm sure Scott deals with this kind of stuff as a salesman. Don't even go there, huh? But what, why, I know maybe this right here is the only reason this took place. So you would know, let's do this by this. Because as the day went on, my heart got softer, and the Lord said, would you just let me have this? I'm doing something. I will take care of you. What difference does it make? I supplied the money. I can supply the money back. If you want to sell the truck, I can sell the... Can't I take care of this little thing? Leave it alone, because I'm finding in Scripture, folks, the strife does nothing for anybody. But I have a right. Not really. I have it right by law, but who said that the written law's right? Come on, we have laws all the time now. President Obama tried to get a law that everybody go to the same bathroom. Is that a right law? Come on. Yeah, you're looking at me. Take these things that go on in your life and recognize that if it's taking you towards strife, just let God have it, because things will be. Now, is there convincing going on in there? It was for me. I did. I had things I needed to do. I had to prepare here. I didn't want this on my mind now. All my excitement for my little pickup truck went right down the drain. That was gone. All their excitement of getting it sold went down the drain. So me adding to it's going to ruin it for them. Come on, follow me. And I'm not condemning or judging the other side. That's how they deal with it. That's their business. Right or wrong, that's not the part. The part is, how are we as Christians going to deal with situations in our life that we have no control of, that we thought we had control of? You let them go. You let God have them. And you don't get in the middle of strife. Young people, listen to me, that graduated. Don't go into high school. Don't go into college and hang out with strifers. Everybody here, if you know someone that is nothing but a strifer and causes problems, slowly step back and get away from that, because you will be just like them. We all know situations and circumstances at work, in the workplace, where you've got people that are always trying to bug, always trying to get control, always trying to be on top, always trying to have the, I know best. I've been around for 6 months. I know how things are run around here. I know what to do. That would be like me going to Dr. Crick's clinic and say, listen, I can run this place. What are you talking about? I don't have the first clue. But there's people that think they know. I mean, listen, y'all looking at me like, I've never done that. You've looked at other children and said, boy, if I had that kid. Have you not? Come on. That is nothing but strife. How things are run at the business, how things are run here at church. Boy, if I was pastor, okay, Absalom, would you like to have it? Just come and talk to me anytime. There's nothing worse for a pastor than a bunch of strifers. Yeah. Nothing. When we're trying to work through things, would you just pray and let God take care of them? They will come back to where they're supposed to be. No one's out to hurt no one. We're just trying to do God's work. Come on. Come on, hang on now. Hang on. James 3, verse 1 says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires that war within you? I want my way. I know it's right. This is right. I'm going to do it. I have a right to do it. Oh, really? You know something I'm going to throw in here? Just because it's the truth does not mean you should be in the middle of telling people. Right. Yeah, but I know that so-and-so and such-and-such is like this. No, you're a strifer. That may be truth, but is that truth edifying? Is that truth building up? Is that truth? You know, you can hear something about someone that might be the truth, but you don't know that God hadn't already dealt with them, and that's removed. One of the biggest revelations I got in that arena was in my life. When I had a situation went on in my life, and I wanted to get right in the middle of it, and I wanted to judge. But who am I? Holy Spirit spoke to me so plain. Who are you to talk about that situation, to bring up that situation, when I may have already fixed that situation in their life? You leave that alone. Because all I was wanting to do was get my point across, that I was, here we go again, that I wanted that place of superiority, that I was right and they were wrong, and now I'm better than them, but in reality, I was the one that was judging, and I was the one that was causing strife. And if that day right there was judgment day, I'm a little farther away from the throne than that person. If it works that way, which it don't. But you feel that way in your life. That's like yesterday morning when this all hit. I felt in myself horrible because I had let Connie down. I had let myself down. I had not done my job to do what I'm supposed to do, but yet my old habits, my old ways would be to, I'm going to fix this. Well, really, it wouldn't have fixed anything but caused more contention, more strife, more heartache, more problems. I may have won, but I wouldn't have won. Come on. If you got a big fire, why in the world would you continue to throw wood on it if you want the fire to go out? Don't we do it? I mean, we've got this raging fire that's so hot that you can't hardly get close enough to put wood on it. Now picture that. You've got this roaring, you got this strife going, and you don't know what to do with it. And it's so bad that you can't even get close to the problem of where it started, that little ash, that little ember that could have just went out on its own. Instead, you walked in unforgiveness, and you wanted your way, so you threw a little bit of kindling on it, and they threw a little bit of kindling on it because they wanted it their way. Y'all, you okay? And then you threw a board on it, and then you got a two before, and then you was dragging logs on it because you are right, and I'm going to win, and that's the way it is, and now we won, and now the fire's too hot to even get close to it, and pretty soon you separate because you can't get close to the person that you made such a fire around because it got so hot, and then we start dividing and going other ways, and then in the midst of our dividing and going other ways in the strife, we end up building another fire somewhere. And when we're trying to bring the relationship back together, there's so many fires in the things that we've said, the things that we've done, that you can't get back to the main thing that started it because you don't have a clue how it got started. When isn't it a lot better just to leave it alone? How many times has things been said to you where you, and we did, and then you realized, I got to stop right now. And when you do, I mean, folks, I've been married 44 years. We've had a lot of bonfires in the past. We don't have bonfires anymore. You can ask Brad. They're in and out all the time. They know how we live. We're not going to fight. We may have a little difference, but we're different people. We may have different ideas about life, but we're different people. But we learned when we start throwing some wood on the fire, all we're going to do is get something that's going to keep us separated longer. And there's no reason. The best thing we can do is to forgive and pour a cup of water on it and put it out. Just put that thing out like it never, ever got lit. Act like it never even took place. Leave it alone. If you have to just get away from each other just for a few moments, go outside, do something, just shake it off. Don't be thinking about what you want to say because all you do is gathering wood. You talk to the Lord. Yesterday I said, Lord, you know. I come up here. I said, you know what's going on. You know what's right. And he immediately said, yes, I do. Leave it alone. I knew you was going to say that. Just leave it alone. Now please hear my heart. I'm not sharing this so you'll someday find out who the other side was, because they are no wronger or righter than I am. That, please, I just wanted to get a point across of how quick these things come up and how you've got to deal with these things. I'm telling you, you can't allow it because it. If I want the fire to go out, I got to quit putting wood on it. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 basically says, test all things, hold fast what is good. What do you mean test all things? Well, the next thing I'm going to say to someone, you better watch and pay attention to what you're saying. Words are so powerful, so powerful. And misunderstood words are just as powerful. That's why we've got to be careful with every word we say. You know, if it's God, it's honest. There's integrity in what is being said. There's love in it. There may not be joy at the moment. But joy will come. The Bible tells us that. If there's love in it, that covers everything that needs to go on. If there's not love in it, then why are you... That's throwing wood on the fire. Well, yeah, but... Now, we got to go back to the definition. Please, don't forget this definition. Exertion or contention for superiority. I will throw the biggest chunk of wood on the fire last. I will make the last statement. I will make the last point. I will win. You win nothing. You just keep the fire going and you make it harder for the person that's trying to leave it alone to leave it alone. And sometimes it doesn't even have to be a word. When you've been married as long as Connie and I, sometimes you don't have to say anything. All you got to do is look at each other wrong. And you already know what they're thinking because you've been together so long. So you've even got to watch what kind of... Sometimes I think she's using natural gas because it just keeps burning. I can't see it, but I know it's still hot. Come on. What are we talking about? Eliminate this in your life and you will have a better life. You will have a happier life. You let God have every situation, but you don't know her. But I know someone who does know her. And I know someone who's going to do a bigger work than you could even imagine that you could ever accomplish. Let God have everything and let strife be gone. You know, Satan's is in revenge. He's in jealousy. He's in contention. He's in judgment. He's in all of those things. So if I'm saying anything in the midst of a confrontation that's going to cause a problem, you've got to leave it alone. You've got to just get away from it. You've got to recognize that you know. So just simply as we wrap up here today, what do we do? How do we deal with this? You say, well, that sounds good, Pastor. I'm glad you was able to overcome that one. Well, you don't think there's not going to be more coming? We've got a meeting Monday with a lawyer. And I'm trying to forebode and think about all the negative things that might happen and all the things that I might say. Well, wouldn't it be better if I just leave that alone? See, I'm already stirring up strife in myself. And if I entertain something I don't have any idea what's coming, and something happens to go wrong out of my control, and I say something that I've been meditating on, what is that doing? That's taking my lumber with me. That's taking the log. I got a truckload of logs I've had to unload 2 or 3 times just since it's all come up that I've got to go talk to a lawyer about Chris's situation. And it's like, I don't know what's going to go on. And he could be doing this, and we could be doing that, and we could be doing this. So I need a bigger truck. No, I need to unload my truck. I need to go up in a little two-seater. A smart car. I need to get a motorcycle where I can let Karen went like this. That would even carry less. Put Connie on the back. Don't laugh. That woman used to be able to handle a bike very good. Until I tell a story on us. We had a 750 Honda, and that was the big bike back then. And we loved it, matter of fact. And we were riding down to Murfreesboro to the T. And a wasp or a big bee flew right where he wasn't supposed to fly, right in my seat. And we pulled up. Have you ever seen the show Laugh-In where the bike goes... I jumped off of the bike and forgot Connie was on the back. Her and the bike. So we retired our bikes. Why? Because I knew right then and there strife was getting ready to start. And I had an excuse, but that excuse don't work. No. See, it happens all the time. You've got the opportunity in every angle of your life. Oh, I mean, every day something will come up. Something comes up. The enemy is like a roaring lion looking for just that little bitty thing to start the strife. And then as the strife starts, it's just a little amber at first. Boy, just a minute till that flame shoots up, you've either got to put kindling on or it's going to go out again. And the more we put, the hotter it gets, the hotter it gets, the more separation you got. And what's so sad about the fire, it doesn't just affect you. Because it gets hot enough that it starts affecting other people. Because what I tended to do more in the past, is to find people to help me carry firewood. I want to tell them the story my way so they can agree with me and help me carry some firewood, and we're both going to throw on this fire, and then they're going to go find somebody that's going to take the offense and carry the offense, and they're not carrying offense, they're carrying more firewood. And then pretty soon you got this whole group that's carrying firewood, and then you got this whole group that's carrying firewood, and then pretty soon then you've got first church, second church, third church, fourth church. That's how easy in the camp of a bunch of Christians like this it can happen. That's why when we picked this carpet, nobody voted. We give you a vote. What would you like, green, green, or green? Well, why'd you do that, Pastor? Because we didn't need the strife for something as trivial as carpet, which God has blessed us. This carpet, because of our cleaning ladies, still, 1993, this has been down. You'd never know it. But if we'd had strife over it, we may have had somebody come in and just ruin it, because that's how people work. See, it wore out when they were taking their knife and he's going. That's where strife can take you. But listen, the first thing you do is you stay away. You stay away from the fire. Don't be carrying wood on the fire. If it's just you and another person and you're the one that's getting ready to start the fire, just don't light it. And if they lit it, just get away from it. Don't add to it by look or by word or by anything. Just get away from it. Just look at it like it's a nuclear bomb going off, because it is. I mean, like radiation that you can't see. It's going to damage you. So just get away. Number one, just get away from it. Number two, let God have it. However little it is, it'll get big. But if you let God have it here, you won't have to worry about it. If it gets big, you didn't do it because you didn't throw the firewood on it. God's taking care of it. He will take care of it. And I like to put under that, you know, don't let your insecurities let you keep carrying firewood to cover your life. Sometimes we get so insecure that we add people to the mix just to cover ourselves because we're not man enough or woman enough to take care of the situation or the problem. That'll cause strife because you never tell the whole truth. When somebody says, what about this, what about this? Well, I'm doing it because of this. Just say you're doing it because you're in charge of doing it. You take charge of your life. If your insecurities are there, work on them. Ask God to help you with them. But don't bring someone else in the picture to cover up what you need to be dealing with because you're so insecure in your walk with the Lord. Another whole topic that we could talk about is that area of insecurity, and we've all got them, every one of us. You know, and write down this to help you with your strife. What difference does it make? Who's right or who's wrong? Really? Yeah, but he always does that. Oh, really? You always notice it. Some people don't even know that he does that or she does that. But you do. And you remind them of it. And if you remember, the more you talk about something, that's where you end up being. And I have found in my life, the things I notice the most is stuff that I'm doing. Which, come on, we all got our guilty. We all got our stuff we don't know. You know, and most of all, I guess, in it all, is just remember that if you are striving to get in the midst of strife, you are trying to be the superior being at the time. And you are not the superior being at the time. God is the superior being at the time, and he will always be the superior being. Last part, and I've got to give you this scripture. Everybody knows it, Ephesians 4:29. If you just live by this, it'll change your life. Impart grace in everything you say or do. In every situation, every circumstance. You know, the difficult ones are when you walk up to somebody that you've had a hard time with, or they've talked about you, or they've said something about you, to be able to walk up to them and pass them like nothing had ever happened. I'm trying to think of the lady's name that was the evangelist. But her thing was, when the news media, they always ripped on her. The news media always ripped on this young lady. Oh, the flowing robe. Somebody, Catherine Kuhlman. Her favorite line was, didn't happen. When it did happen. But she would just never act like it happened. And she walked probably more powerful than any person that I know in the gift of the Holy Spirit. It just flowed through her. It just oozed out of her. Why? Because she would not allow strife and other people to affect her walk with the Lord. Because see, what happens when you think you're in charge and you're striving for superiority, you are saying to God, I've got this. When folks listen, God is the one that's got this. We've got to give him everything that's going on. Let me read that scripture in the New Living Translation. Ephesians 4:29. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Impart grace. Probably the biggest thing I could say in the area of dealing with strife is just learn to impart grace. Look, when you have, you know, I can't imagine the number of people that Scott deals with as he sells all the lawnmower and all the equipment that he sells with. In all of them, there's got to be somebody that is just a real bug. You know, I mean, they live on that side of strife, and they want it to run forever perfect. So for every problem, he's got to deal with that person every time anything goes on. The blades get dull. It's your fault. I mean, come on. So he's got to, like we've got to. Come on. Connie, parents always run a restaurant, and one of the main things that was always said back in the kitchen, the customer is always right. They're not. But, you know, you can spit in their stew, and they don't know it, and that won't cause strife. But then God's going to deal with you because you spit in the stew. So the best thing to do is just there. Come on. What did you put your head down for? Did you do that before or something? Oh, no. Strife. How do we deal with it? We let God have it. Quit throwing wood on the fire, let it go. Marriages, listen to me. Quit arguing. All you're doing is throwing wood on the fire. Let it go. You say, but you don't know. I don't know. But I know he knows. And I know that the Bible over and over and over and over again says that love always wins. Let God deal with. And God will take care of the things that he wants to take care of. And then you just go on your way and you just love the Lord. And just get up in the morning, love God, love people, and go to bed. And you'll have a happier life. Let's stand up. Lots of graduation parties today. Lots of things going on. Don't take strife in there. Let God have it. Father, I thank you that there's not a person, the sound of my voice, not a person here that wants to be in the middle of strife. So help us, Father, by your anointing and by your power. We can't do this in ourselves. Help us by your anointing and your power to quicken us in our spirit to stop throwing wood on the fire, to walk away happy knowing that you have got every situation. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You know how to deal with every situation. You know what is best for us. So we give you every circumstance, every situation, not just today, but from now on, Father, we're taking this and we're taking everything just with a stride, trusting in you, standing our ground with the authority that we have, trusting in the name of Jesus and what he's going to do for us, and knowing that when it's all said and done, The best is going to happen for us. And we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Call you blessed. You are dismissed. If you need prayer for anything, the elders will be up front. Yeah.